Seems like a nice time to go to a museum. A pleasant week happening and a certainly lovely weekend. And the Museum of Arts and Culture has had an opening each and every weekend the last couple and have a pretty major one opening this weekend. So let's find out about that by bringing into conversation the director of the Museum of Arts and Culture, Wes Jessup. Good morning, Wes.
Good morning, Vern. Thanks for having me on.
Well, certainly. We need to catch up with what everybody's doing, and as we're trying for business as usual. Actually, let's just start real quickly, get out of the way, what you're doing for protocols on safety in the museum.
Yeah, well, we're following all the guidelines of the state, which means that we're fully open here at the MAC, and we require face masks. So, just like everywhere, you have to wear a face mask.
Okay, and so that's the caveat there, and we would assume that's just about everywhere that we want to go. So anyway, all these openings, and we'll get back to the last two that you've done, but what about Louis Tiffany? We've always heard of Tiffany Glass, and that's the extent of my knowledge. So fill us in about Louis Comfort Tiffany.
Yeah, so Tiffany was an artist and a designer. He actually started as a painter. His father was a jewelry maker, and Tiffany began to explore the medium of glass and began to do wonderful colored glass, stained glass, different kinds of glass that was alloyed with metals. And so he was an inventor, and he created beautiful everything from windows to lamps to vases and different kinds of decorative objects. In the 19th century and the early 20th century, Tiffany was the most famous artist in the country. His work was extremely valuable. It still is. And the work that we're showing is from the largest and best private collection of Tiffany, and it's on a tour around the country. We're thrilled to be able to bring it to Spokane, and the pieces are stunning.
Last night I bought a new microwave and got it out of its box with the packing stuff around it, and I can only imagine the packing cases that it took to move Tiffany, valuable Tiffany objects. You must have a lot of packing boxes in the basement, right?
We do, yeah. The crating was pretty extraordinary for the show. The great thing is that the show kind of traveled with the cases that the pieces go in, so the show has a wonderful look and feel. It's just beautiful the way the glass is installed and backlit, and so it's a really dramatic exhibition. It's just beautiful color, and like I said, he was an innovator. He was the most successful artist of his time. When we think of glass today, we often think of like Dale Chihuly. Well, Tiffany was sort of the OG Dale Chihuly, so to speak. He was really, he really put glass on the Mac, on the map as a collectible kind of medium. And like I said, he was incredibly innovative for his time. He was doing things nobody else had tried.
It's interesting to think about early Spokane because there's the connection with Olmsted that helped create parks and certainly the architect that was so instrumental here. And then Tiffany, what was it about early Spokane? We wanted to be just as fancy as anybody else, or what?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of Tiffany objects in Spokane during that time. I mean, the kind of rise of the Gilded Age Spokane happened concurrent, it was right when Tiffany was kind of established as a major artist. So many of the homes in Spokane feature Tiffany. There were objects like our Campbell House here at the MAC has several Tiffany items, including lamps. The Patsy Clark Mansion actually has an extraordinary window that was made by Tiffany. That's still installed in the house. It's gorgeous. So it's interesting that there is a connection. I'm glad you pointed that out because, when you think about some of the great residential architecture in Spokane was very much matching up with what Tiffany was doing at the time.
Sure, and so you had to, if you were going to have a Cutter house, you needed a Tiffany window, maybe.
That's right.
And so the Tiffany window at the Patsy Clark, does it face the park? Does it face south?
It faces north, and it's on the landing of the staircase as you go up.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, it's a northern. It catches northern light, but. Mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous piece of glass. It's wonderful.
So when we go to the Mac, by the way, this opens to the public on Sunday. I understand with a members opening on Saturday. But as we go in to see it in the Mac, it is glass, and glass depends on light. So how did that figure out in how you're displaying it?
Yeah, so our installers, lighting glass is very different than lighting an oil on canvas painting, for instance. So there's a whole different way of lighting. We actually do have an installer a designer that travels with the show who's here right now, and she's also working on the lighting. And some of the pieces come with their own lighting, some of them are backlit. That's a really good point you bring up. It's the beauty of this work requires and depends upon the light sources around it. So that definitely is another layer of of opportunity for us to really highlight the work.
Spending time with Wes Jessup and about this Louis Tiffany treasures from the Driehaus collection. It opens this Sunday. What are your hours on Sunday?
10 to 5.
Okay, and how many weeks or months is it in town?
So this exhibition is actually running through the beginning of February, so it's a slightly longer exhibition. We wanted to keep it as long as we could. It will be up through the holidays, which we think is wonderful. It's a great kind of holiday show, and we're going to be also doing some nice programming around it over the course of the exhibition. We're excited to have this here, and we're fortunate. Like I said, this is the most important private collection of Tiffany objects, and it really displays the breadth of his talents. Meaning that it's glass, but there's also bronze objects. There's some different kinds of things. It's not like everything in the show is a stained glass window, and I think that's what is going to surprise people and make it a really fun experience for families.
And programming around it, as in music or speeches or what?
Yeah, and you can get on our website to see some of the things that we're offering. We had to be a little careful just because of COVID and gathering people together in smaller spaces, but we do have some opportunities for the community to learn more about Tiffany and to go more deeply with this work.
Okay. Museum of Arts and Culture, MAC. I've always admired the imaginative logo that was created out of those three letters, because each letter describes a different aspect of your mission. Would you talk about that logo?
Yeah, well, our mission is kind of capturing three different key areas, kind of the regional history, the tribal history, and also the art history of this area. And that includes contemporary history and contemporary art as well. So we have those three disciplines. As a museum, kind of the largest museum serving a wide region of, basically 200 miles circumference, we're fairly comprehensive. So we cover those three areas, kind of the European settlers in this area and their history. Of course, the tribal history. We have the largest collection of plateau art and material culture from the plateau tribes, and we work closely with the tribes in displaying that work, as well as art and art from this region and things like the Tiffany Show, which we bring in, and we kind of, bringing the world to Spokane. We do that a lot here.
So let's go back to the two openings last weekend and the weekend before on September 8th. Tell me about Joe Federson.
Joe Federson is a nationally renowned artist from the Colville, the Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation. He lives in Omak. And the MAC is organizing a major retrospective. He's a late career artist. We're organizing a major traveling retrospective of his work in 2023. What we learned in the process of organizing this is that Joe has been collecting and trading art with his friends, many of whom are some of the most famous you know, American Indian artist in the country. And on a visit to his house recent, like a couple of years ago, I started noticing this extraordinary collection. And when the fires, I don't know if you recall, Vern, but there was a fire issue hazard out in OMAC.
Oh, yeah.
And we offered to let him bring his things in so we could store them here. And as we were storing them, you know, we realized, wow, there's an exhibition here of some really amazing quality work from other contemporary indigenous artists. And so we organized a small show of this work. And I'm talking about artists like Rick Bartow and Jean Quictusy Smith, kind of some of the top names of the contemporary American Indian art scene. And so we have this really dynamic show of sculpture, prints, painting. It's not a huge show. It's in one of our side galleries, but it's a beautiful, if you love contemporary art and kind of more experimental work, I think you would, you know, people will really connect with this show.
You know, you bring up an interesting thing of giving and receiving, because we certainly, in talking about the Tiffany show, that's a major outside touring show coming to Spokane. But you mentioned, as with the Federson show, this involves the MAC putting together shows that I presume then you could send out. I've never thought about that part of your mission.
The MAC has not traveled a show for years, maybe 15 years. I'm happy to say that we're getting back into that business. We have such an extraordinary collection that we want to share that. And so currently, right now, Vern, an exhibition we organized 2 years ago from our Plateau Tribal Collection called As Grandmother Taught, which paired contemporary Native artists with our historic collection. That's actually at the Washington Historical Society in Tacoma right now. So they are hosting a MAC show in Tacoma, and it's getting really great positive reviews over there. So we do travel our collection, and that's something that we've been doing more recently.
Good. I'm glad to know it goes both directions. And then opening just last weekend, but running for almost a year, is Canoes, Etc. Talk about Awakenings.
Yeah, Awakenings. The title is Awakenings, Traditional Canoes and Calling the Salmon Home. And this is an exhibition that was delayed because of COVID. It was supposed to open a year ago. We organized it. Our curators here, Tisa Matheson and Val Wall, organized this exhibition with the United Tribes of the Upper Columbia, which is an organization, some people know it by UCUT. And it tells the story of the annual Columbia River canoe journey. And it talks about the old growth cedar logs and carving the dugout canoes for this annual launch at Kettle Falls. Well, here's the great thing about this show. We actually have two of these canoes, and they're extraordinary. They're like 30 feet long. They're just massive. And to kind of help people understand the breadth of what this is all about, next spring, we're actually going to be purchasing a full tree, and we have some carvers that will be here on campus at the MAC creating a dugout canoe. So in addition to seeing the show and the exhibition and kind of understanding better this aspect of tribal culture, we'll also be able to experience and see, appreciate the incredible work that goes into making these canoes.
So by virtue of it going through late August of next year, then would you kind of be uniting with next year's canoe journey, for instance?
Correct, yeah. That's exactly right. And I think the canoe that is being carved will be initiated on that journey.
Oh, that sounds fun. Wow, that does, again, you know, I'm extrapolating from what you say is that how to make a museum not just a look in the past, but how to compress time and change time so that all time has a different relationship to now and then and everything. Talk about that philosophy in your business.
Well, I mean, I think especially with the tribes that we work with at the museum, we want to communicate that, you know, tribal practices are, they didn't like die 100 years ago. These very active, and there's incredible artists and craftsmen and craftswomen and people who carry on these traditions, you know, as grandmother taught, brought together contemporary Native American artists that work in traditional styles. The canoe carving is the same thing. And so it's really easy for us, I think, living in a city, living in Spokane, to forget that there's these incredibly vibrant, you know, cultures that are just stone's throw from Spokane. And the, you know, the innovation out there, the ingenuity, just the, you know, the lifestyle, I think, is something that we would all do better to learn more about. And we want the MAC to be a platform for that. We're not really telling the stories. I think we're more of a platform for those, for, you know, for tribes to come in and talk about, to talk about those aspects of traditional life.
Good. So these are the quick review, the two that are already open. We were just talking about the canoes, which opened last weekend. I'm abbreviating, but Awakenings, the traditional canoes, and calling the Salmon Home. And then having opened 2 weeks ago, Continuous Lines, selections from the Joe Federson collection. And then it is this Sunday that the MAC is opening to the public, Louis Comfort Tiffany, Treasures from the Driehaus, from the Driehaus collection. So you have a lot of things going on. I'll look forward to maybe another chat in the winter and see what comes around again.
Excellent, excellent. Mm-hmm. Always great to talk, Vern.
Thanks so much for being with us. That's okay. From the MAC, Wes Jessup.